Robinhood Radio presents Your Health with osteopathic physician Dr. Kim Tripp, a show presented monthly on Robinhood Radio, discussing the challenges faced and the solutions that are available for keeping vital health and well-being throughout our lives. And now, here's Dr. Tripp.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp, osteopathic physician. This is the health show created to bring you vital information and discussion of all kinds of health issues on your mind and in your life from the unique perspective of traditional osteopathic medicine. So first, as we always do for new listeners, let's clarify what osteopathic medicine means. Osteopathic medicine is practiced by fully licensed physicians in the United States with a DO degree, a Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine degree. Our practice is based on the essential relationship in all living things between structure and function. In other words, the natural interdependence between anatomy and physiology, or that between the physics of the body and its chemistry. As osteopathic physicians, we use our comprehensive and precisely detailed knowledge of anatomy and physiology to promote health and healing in our patients. We work gently with our hands to help your body restore optimal function based on optimal structure. Our medical specialty is therefore called osteopathic manual medicine. We receive uniquely in-depth training in anatomy and physiology and their relationship within your body in the context of a full physician's medical training. Only U.S.-trained osteopaths are fully licensed physicians and have all of the current medical pharmacopoeia, nutritional science, and full medical training at our disposal. This means that your individual treatment may include a wide range of approaches, but it will always be founded on our gentle hands-on work. We practice from the unique perspective of first looking for the health in our patients rather than merely finding illness and disease. Our practice has been especially effective for, but is not limited to, musculoskeletal and other structural issues, as well as problems like chronic headache, gastrointestinal disease, post-concussive syndrome, sleep disturbance, allergies, and many, many other problems. We work together with you, the patient, to help you build health and vitality in your body, mind, and spirit as the solution for your health problems, rather than only treating the disease symptoms. So in the radio show, we tackle health issues from this point of view. What can we do to help you build your health and vitality in order to prevent and heal injuries and disease? And we do that in the show by giving you some basic information about the problem to help you understand what's happening, as well as offer solutions and guidance for helping yourself to heal and stay healthy based on our clinical experience with patients in our practice. Before we start on today's topic, let me remind you that you can listen to all of the prior Your Health shows online at your convenience by going to the Robinhood Radio's website and then the On Demand section, and then scroll down and select the Your Health shows, or by going to the Goldman Tripp Osteopathic Healthcare website, and all the shows are found there as well. Today, we're going to begin exploring an especially fascinating and osteopathic topic, the fascia and connective tissues. The word fascia is thrown around loosely by all kinds of healthcare practitioners, but I want to paint as accurate and comprehensive a picture for you as possible, without any actual illustrations in my hands, of exactly what this miraculous tissue is and does, and why it is so key to our health and well-being, as well as delve into all the related connective tissue throughout the body, which does exactly what it's named for, that is, to connect things throughout our anatomy to each other. In today's show, we'll start exploring fascia, and we'll discuss other specific connective tissues like cartilage, tendons, and ligaments in the next show. Let's start by defining and describing fascia. This is not an easy thing to do. Fascia is sometimes described as a connective tissue sheet layer surrounding all the other tissues of the body, something like a continuous layer of saran wrap wrapped around all the usually discreetly identifiable parts like bones, muscles, organs, nerves, arteries, veins, etc. But this is not entirely accurate. Fascia is essentially the matrix within which all the other more defined tissues and organs of the body are nestled and netted together within that fascial matrix. Unlike the neat, tidy plastic models of bones and organ systems that you see in your doctor's offices, in reality, there are no clean edges between organs and muscles and bones in the living body. In the live anatomy, everything is connected to everything else at the microscopic and macroscopic levels, such that the so-called edges of one thing are woven into the edges of another thing via transitional connective tissue that we call fascia. Fascia also comes in various forms and thicknesses depending on where it is in the body and what roles it is playing there. And yes, of course, there are identifiably distinct muscles, for example, biceps versus triceps, bones, for example, femur versus tibia, arteries, veins, lymphatic vessels, and organs. We can tell the liver versus the heart. But these are not floating in space as removable parts. They are tucked up against each other in a dense pack within the collagenous matrix of fascia. And that fascia is invested into the adjacent identifiable tissues. At the cellular level, the tissues blend into each other and transition one to the other within the collagenous fascial matrix. What do I mean by collagenous? The fascial matrix is largely made up of collagen fibers. Collagen is an insoluble and fibrous protein that makes up about one-third of the protein in the human body. There are many different types of collagen, but in most collagens, the molecules are packed together to form long, thin fibrils that act as supporting structures and that facilitate cells linking to each other. The fascial matrix also contains elastin fibers that facilitate stretch and intertissue mobility to promote our tissues' abilities to slide over and around each other. All the tissues in the body are embedded, wrapped in, or move through fascia. All of our nerves, arteries, and veins are contained within some type of fascial layer, pocket, or sleeve. There are various kinds of fascia that vary from very thin, loose, and open to very dense and thick. Fascia is the most ubiquitous tissue in the body. It has not been as well described or studied as other tissues and organs, largely because in dissection of cadavers, fascia becomes a resistant covering layer that is just an obstacle to finding the organ, muscle, bone, or nerve underneath or within it. Yet in the living body, the fascia is an essential organizing ground tissue that provides shape, structure, resilience, connectivity, movement capacity, and signal transduction. Let's look a little further at some of these characteristics. Let's talk about shape and structure. Throughout the body, at the macroscopic level of tissues and organs, the fascia varies from a very thin sheet covering muscles, bones, and organs to dense, thickened areas of fascia called aponeuroses that serve as distinct structural entities in the functional anatomy themselves. To generalize, aponeuroses are a flat sheet or wide ribbon of tendon-like material that anchors a muscle or connects it with the bone that the muscle moves. An aponeurosis is composed of dense, fibrous connective tissue containing fibroblasts, which are collagen-secreting spindle-shaped cells, and bundles of collagenous fibers in ordered arrays, i.e., it's a dense fascia. Aponeuroses are structurally similar to other types of connective tissue, like tendons and ligaments. Examples of aponeuroses are those on the palms of your hands or bottoms of your feet that add stability and resilience in the face of the forces of walking and all the torque and demand on our hands. Another example is the thoracolumbar fascial aponeurosis that covers the low back and upper posterior pelvis that stabilizes that region and integrates the movement of the large latissimus dorsi muscles throughout that back and pelvis. Another example are the aponeuroses surrounding the central tendon of the diaphragm that gives the diaphragm the capacity to contract and descend during inhalation. And there are many, many other examples throughout the body. At the other end of the continuum of fascial shape and structure are the very thin sheets of fascia covering all of the muscles, bones, and organs. Sometimes these sheets thicken into fascial capsules around the organs, like the pericardium of the heart or the capsules of the liver and kidneys, and connect them to adjacent structures. For example, the liver capsule blends into the fascia of the diaphragm such that the liver is gently moved with respiration, as are all the abdominal organs. The fascial sheets surrounding organs, bones, muscles, arteries, veins, and nerves blend with the tissues of the organs and muscles they surround such that the fascia invests itself into the outermost layers of those tissues it surrounds and is biologically inseparable. This is why restrictions in the fascia can lead to compromise in muscle, organ, nerve, or vessel function, which leads me to the issue of how fascia relates to connectivity and movement capacity. Healthy, fluid-rich fascia allows all the moving parts of the body to glide and slide over and around each other in their normal full range of motion, just as individual seaweed plants in their submerged forest glide around each other as a wave moves through them all with the tide. But if there's a shortage of fluid or a structural flaw in the fascia, this can inhibit the stretch of the fascia and thus inhibit the normal motion of the tissues. Just like constrictively tight belts or ill-fitting clothing on a body can impede movement and create pain or discomfort, you can imagine that a twist or other constriction in the fascia surrounding a muscle or organ has to impact the circulation and innervation to that tissue and hence its function, as well as potentially physically limiting the ability of the fibers of a muscle to contract and relax normally, and thus potentially change the range of motion of the bones that muscle is attached to, or even compromise a nerve and create pain or discomfort, or limit the blood flow to that tissue, leading to disease and inflammation. Restrictions in the fascia, or inflammation of the fascia, can lead to chronic pain and dysfunction conditions of many sorts, including, for example, plantar fasciitis, which is the inflammation of the aponeurosis on the sole of the foot, or Dupuytren's contracture, which leads to the shortening of the aponeurosis of the palm of the hand, making it impossible to extend the fingers fully, usually the fourth and fifth fingers, or inguinal hernia, in which internal tissue extrudes through a weak point in the abdominal aponeurosis. Localized issues in the fascia in one part of the body can lead to problems in other areas of the body as well. For example, if one muscle or organ does not move normally, its neighbors will likely be restricted as well. And this can lead to complex sets of restrictions throughout the body. Literally, everything in the body is connected to everything else through that fascia, which leads me to an especially fascinating aspect of the fascial matrix. Because the fascia is one great connected and connective matrix throughout the body, it serves as a kind of ocean that transmits waves of signals for the physical body, which brings me to signal transduction in the fascia. Recall that the physiology of the body is regulated in many ways and relies on signaling mechanisms that inform our various tissues of what is happening and not happening normally and what might need to be changed to get things back on track. For example, at the macroscopic level of organs, the pituitary gland samples our blood passing by to determine if there is enough thyroid hormone in the blood to maintain normal metabolism, and if not, it releases thyroid-stimulating hormone, which signals that thyroid gland to make and release more thyroid hormone. At the microscopic level, the presence or absence of certain proteins can stimulate gene expression that leads to the production of other compounds that regulate cellular function and metabolism, and ultimately change our physiology and even our appearance. In another example of signaling, the production and transmission of electrical signals regulates the beating of our hearts, which is controlled by the transmission of nerve signals through the autonomic nervous system that either speed up or slow down the transmission of those electrical signals in a seemingly miraculous and remarkably sensitive and complex system. The heart is invested in its own fascial matrix. Throughout our bodies, the fascia is made up of something called an extracellular matrix, meaning all the stuff outside the cells that the cells are contained within, as well as select cell types. There is a continuity of extracellular and intracellular fibers throughout the fascia and its neighboring tissues, such that certain kinds of proteins from the extracellular matrix actually cross the cell membranes and penetrate the cells. These are called integrins, and they connect specialized fibers within the cell that connect to the nucleus and genetic material within the cell. So there is a full physical continuum of specialized microscopic fibers from outside to inside the cell and ultimately into the cell nucleus, which affects the genome. Because of the uninterrupted physical interconnectivity from the extracellular matrix all the way through to the genome of the cells, mechanical perturbation of this continuum of fibers can actually change how genes are expressed within the cells, and it can do so much more rapidly than even chemical signaling can achieve, in microseconds versus milliseconds. This process is called mechanotransduction, and it was first described by a brilliant PhD named Donald Ingber in Boston, who first published his work in 1993 and has presented his findings around the world at many scientific conferences, including at one of the International Fascia Congresses. Mechanotransduction throughout the fascia and connective tissues, as well as all the tissues of the body, can explain why small changes in the freedom of motion of tissues in one area of the body may change function throughout the system. It's an area of study of special interest to osteopathic physicians. Let's talk a little bit about diseases of the fascia. You can begin to see how crucial and ubiquitous the fascia is to our bodies and our health. There are many, many diseases and disorders involving the fascia, including a number of very rare syndromes, and a full discussion of those is beyond the scope of our radio program today. However, in addition to inguinal hernia, plantar fasciitis, and Depertin's contracture that we mentioned earlier, I do want to point out that there are conditions affecting the entire fascial matrix of the body. These generally involve some kind of painful regional or systemic fasciitis, in other words, an inflammation or infection of the fascia, such as is found in fibromyalgia or with lupus or other autoimmune disease-associated fasciitis. These systemic diseases can be very dangerous and need specialized medical care. Our fascial matrix is the structural home and context for all the parts of the body we generally think of as making up our bodies. We don't think of the fascia as having its own identity and role, and yet healthy, fluid, resilient, and freely moving fascia is clearly essential for our overall health, since it is essential for the health of all the tissues and organs that are invested within this extraordinary connective tissue. So how can we maintain the health of our fascia? Essentially, by maintaining our general health well, keep well hydrated, avoid inflammatory and toxic food and drink, maintain a regular gentle stretching and exercise routine, and make sure to address any restrictions in your normal range of motion throughout your body right away. Which brings me back to osteopathy and to the close of today's show here with a reminder that a good osteopathic physician who is a specialist in osteopathic manual medicine can be especially helpful for connective tissue problems of all kinds, working gently with our hands with the involved fascia, muscles, organs, nerves, vasculature, and associated tissues to release restrictions in the physical tissues throughout the body from head to feet, as well as to help balance the autonomic nervous system function based on anatomical detail. Recall that all of the body is imbued with fascia and connective tissue as a complex physical entity with connections between all the parts that need to be open, flexible, and moving freely with excellent neural conduction from the cranial nerves, optimal arterial and venous blood flow, and lymphatic drainage to remain healthy, vital, and functioning normally. Well, that's a great deal to think about and consider. And now I seem to have run out of time again. Thank you so much for your attention to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp. Remember, you can email your comments and suggestions for topics to yourhealth@robinhoodradio.com. If you have a health issue yourself and you'd like to find out about how we might be able to help you in our practice of traditional osteopathy, we're at our offices in Sharon, Connecticut. Dr. Kim Tripp and Dr. Andrew Goldman, Goldman Tripp Osteopathic Healthcare, 860-364-5990, Monday to Friday, 8:45 a.m. to 5 p.m. with evening hours Wednesdays and Fridays, or on the web at www.goldmantripp.net. I'll be looking forward to being with you next time. Meanwhile, you take care of yourself, enjoy your health, and thank you for listening.